the children's hospitals are at capacity, and it certainly feels like half the kids in the country are sick. So let's try and find out what's going on and what's what and what you should be doing. GP Dr. Nina Burns, you're very welcome.
Good morning, Brendan.
Hi, Nina. Nina, does it seem to you, are there more colds, respiratory stuff going around than usual at the moment?
I don't know that I'd say it's more than usual, because in a normal year, we would see a lot of colds and bugs at this time of year. But I guess last year we saw pretty much nothing except for COVID. So we are definitely seeing a lot of people with very strong COVID-like symptoms who are testing negative for COVID. So there must be other bugs out there.
Yeah, okay. And we've heard a lot about the RSV in the last couple of weeks.
Yep.
Now, I know the Telegraph isn't exactly the Lancet, but they are talking about a super cold going around. Are people getting like a super cold of some kind, do you think?
Well, look, I mean, we're seeing entire families struck down with a viral illness, the symptoms of which are exactly the same as COVID, and they're all testing negative for COVID. And they are, they're getting sick enough with it. So whatever it is, it's highly contagious. It rips through houses. And, you know, especially kids, you know, parents are worried because they have symptoms that are lingering, going on, quite distressing.
Yeah.
So there is some kind of virus out there that is certainly affecting kids very strongly.
Okay, and do we think it's to do with like kids have been kind of locked away a lot in the last year and a half, and that their immunity has reduced a bit?
Yeah, well, there was a theory last year, I suppose. You know, any parent who's had a child in a creche or play school knows that often in the first year, they just pick up one bug after another. And there is a theory that I guess children just weren't, you know, those children who are now maybe two weren't really exposed to a lot of bugs in the first 2 years of life because of lockdown, because they weren't in creche, because they were at home. And now suddenly they're back out in the world and they're just getting this tsunami of all these different bugs coming at them. And so they're
weren't
picking
socialized
up the viruses
into
all at once.
Yeah,
exactly.
They weren't socialized into immunity. Yeah. And listen, so this COVID-like cold that is knocking out whole families, what kind of symptoms are you seeing?
Well, pretty much exactly the same as COVID. It seems to be, you know, runny nose, sore throat, headaches, cough. But the sinus congestion seems to be a big part of it. And a lot of the cough, particularly in children, is driven by the fact, I think, that these children are just very congested.
Okay.
It's quite distressing cough. They have a lot of kind of thick sort of mucousy stuff that can be catching in their throat and making them cough, and some of them actually vomit after coughing. So it's those sort of classic, you know, they're not new symptoms. They're the classic symptoms of a cold, but then COVID is also the classic symptoms of a cold. There aren't really specific symptoms that you could say this is COVID or this is some other virus. It's a total mix for both, really.
Okay, so if people have this in the house, what do they do?
Anyone who has flu-like symptoms, they need, first of all, they have to have a COVID test that has to be ruled out. But what I would almost argue to
would
people is...
Would you ring
is,
your
you know,
GP
I,
in the first instance, yes?
Well, there's two ways to do it. You ring your GP and get advice, absolutely. But you can go online and just book a COVID test. There's a very efficient system with the HSE where you go online and book a COVID test. So, you know, I want people to know they don't have to ring their GP to get a COVID test. And then I suppose it's important to say that a lot of these symptoms can be managed at home. You don't necessarily have to see the GP to manage these symptoms. And often a call to the GP can give you very good advice on how to look after this. And, you know, I know some patients are getting frustrated because they call and they automatically want an appointment, whereas these symptoms, for the most part, you end up being triaged to a phone call because we have to be careful still who we bring in. And I think the important message out there is, you know, a lot of people are like, oh, but it's not COVID. But whatever virus they have, it's highly contagious because we're seeing it rip through families. So it is important, you know, that even if they have a negative COVID test, that they are staying home till they're 48 hours. Well, I think that message, which has always been part of the message of COVID, it doesn't really get out there as strongly as it should.
But I know that parents are going to say, well, you know, my little Johnny gets the same thing every year. It's kind of an allergy thing. And I recognize it and I know it. And he's always fine. And he's always been fine to go to school with it. And you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, but it's not an allergy if it's ripping through your house. That allergies aren't contagious, Brendan. So if all your children have suddenly come down with it, it's not allergies.
Yeah. Okay. So listen, are you saying if a kid has any kind of symptoms at all that could be that are cold-like, flu-like, COVID-like, whatever you want to call it, anything at all, they have to stay at home?
If they have a tiny sniffle, stay at home for a couple of days. If it gets worse, like if they wake up and just their nose and they're otherwise fine, keep them home, see how it goes a day or two. If it's getting worse, get a COVID test.
Okay.
If they wake up and they have a sore throat and they're out of sorts and they have a runny nose, get a COVID test.
Okay.
And
so the earlier advice at a particular stage was like it was ambivalent on runny noses and saying, look, you know your own kid and all that.
So,
but you're saying runny nose, don't go anywhere.
I think stay home is the important message. You know, don't go out when you're sick. And then, you know, 24 hours will tell you if it's just a sniffle and it doesn't get any worse and they're totally fine and no one else in the house gets sick, then it's just a sniffle. But if it's a sniffle that develops into a sore throat and a cough and suddenly the next person in the house also has the same symptoms, they clearly have some kind of contagious virus. And to be honest, whether it's COVID or not, they still shouldn't be out and about.
And listen, is it easy to tell then if someone does make it as far as you or if they've got a COVID test and it's not COVID, is it easy to tell if this is cold, flu, RSV, whatever, or can
no,
you?
So we don't. So there are what they call the sentinel GP practices who will do specific swabs to see exactly what virus it is. But for the most part, we don't specifically test for what virus it is. Now, they would in the hospitals in some instance, because the management of it, Brendan, is the same. It doesn't really matter what virus it is. We manage it the same way.
Yeah.
A virus doesn't need antibiotics. It needs rest. It needs fluids. It needs, you know, paracetamol or ibuprofen or possibly an antihistamine or a decongestant if you're the right age for that. And it's time. You know, I think the biggest thing people find frustrating is the time it can take. A virus can be 7 to 10 days, often 2 weeks before the cough is fully gone. And so there's an impatience, I think, if people aren't better 2 or 3 days later, they want an antibiotic. But antibiotics don't treat viruses and they don't treat pain either. All they treat is bacteria. And the majority of these are not bacterial.
OK, so basically, as we always knew about viruses before virus became such a dirty word, people would say, it's a virus. I didn't get antibiotics. You just have to write it out, basically.
Unfortunately, And if you're worried, always call your GP because we will, you know, we do see some people. I don't want the message out there that we're not seeing people. We are seeing people we're worried about.
At what point do you worry? At what point do you need a doctor for
a kid? So, I mean, in a child, you know, if a child has a fever that's not going away after 5 days, I think, or if they're very sick with the fever, if they're very flat, they're not eating or drinking, or if their breathing is distressed, you know, particularly in children. And in fact, those symptoms in anyone would warrant at least touching base with your GP. And in the majority of cases, certainly if a child is sick with fever or has fever that's not settling after 5 days, we would see them. So they're the kind of symptoms that you'd be looking out for. And I always say to someone, if you're worried, just call. There's no harm calling. We're never upset to talk to someone who's worried. You know, most of us are parents ourselves. We know exactly what it's like to be sitting looking at a sick child. Or sitting looking at a sick partner or, you know, friend. But so it's always good just to get advice. There's no harm in that.
Yeah. Listen, are you noticing people are using antigen tests and are they using them well?
Look, I'm very dubious. I mean, I think antigen tests definitely have a role, but I think their role is probably more in people who are asymptomatic. If you're symptomatic, it's a PCR test you need, not an antigen test. And I think that's important. You know, and a lot of people, I get it, especially young kids who are picking up lots of bugs, they're fed up getting testing done. But it's important, and it's important people are honest with their doctors about what tests they've had. I've seen messages on Twitter about people saying they had a PCR test and they didn't. You know, we ask for a copy of the PCR result. Because I think it's important to know that people are being tested. And unfortunately, a parent is thinking about their child.
What? Are people reluctant to know if they have COVID or if there's COVID in the house?
I don't know. I suppose that's, I never thought about it that way, Brendan. I suppose maybe they are. They're, you know, people don't like to be the one who had COVID, but... And COVID has implications because, you know, it's the 10-day stay at home. And if it's a young child you're looking after, then obviously the parent has to stay at home as well. But I think really the important message is, you know, that whether it's COVID or not, you shouldn't be out if you have an infectious illness. Like, we don't let people out with chickenpox, you know, like it's not the only contagious virus out there.
Listen, in terms of preventative as well, I know you're a big advocate of preventative medicine. What can we be doing at the moment to stop us getting these bugs in the first place?
Well, I think what we learned last year is wearing masks and keeping our distance works. So that's probably the most important thing we can continue to do is to wear masks when we're out and around other people and do our best to keep our distance. Obviously, anyone who is not vaccinated for COVID, that's probably the most important thing you could do to help society. And I think that's really, really important. And then also, if you are sick, not going to work, not being around other people, you know, that to stay home. And then generally, you know, as I always say, healthy lifestyle. So nourishing yourself, eating quality food. You know, healthy fats are very important. In the winter, vitamin D supplements for most people. It's almost impossible to get enough vitamin D in your diet in the winter.
Okay, would you take a supplement?
I would, yeah, in the winter I would. Or, you know, or you can take fortified milk or a lot of cereals with vitamin D added, but we don't have enough sunlight from October through March, and the majority of people do need a supplement for the winter. There's so no question about
you see, I thought vitamin D added into food was probably like snake oil of some kind. So if you drink that milk that says it has vitamin D, you actually are getting vitamin D. Yeah.
Yeah, fortified milk. So in other countries, in the States, they fortify all the milk. In Australia, they fortify all the fats. But we don't routinely fortify food in Ireland. And so you have to look for fortified milk. A lot of cereals will have vitamin D added. But it's important that you're getting enough vitamin D, you know, so you have to look. So, you know, you have to look at the dose you're getting. If you're only having a tiny glass of milk a day, that's probably not enough vitamin D for you in the winter.
Okay. Yeah. I'd be a great advocate of vitamin C. Are you a fan? I'm not a doctor, I stress.
It's very easy. Vitamin C is a water-soluble vitamin. Most of the supplements you take end up in the toilet, to be honest, Brendan.
Yes, yes.
But there was one study that suggested when you have a cold, taking vitamin C can reduce the length of that cold. I think that has been extrapolated out to say that vitamin C prevents colds. There is no evidence.
I would
that
anecdotally
it does,
say that I bombard myself with vitamin C when I feel a cold coming on, and I'd swear to God sometimes I feel it's headed it off at the pass.
Yeah, well, if you have a cold, that one study suggested it can shorten it. And look, it's not going to do you any harm. It's a water-soluble vitamin, so most of what you pay for ends up in the toilet. So, you know, but that's not harming you. So that's okay. But eating, you know, obviously eating, you know, kiwis are a very good source of vitamin C, berries, oranges. You can get vitamin C in diet very easily.
Yeah. Listen, I presume the flu vaccine should be a no-brainer for children this year. There's talk that, the uptake is a bit slow among the children. They haven't really gone for the spray vaccine.
Yeah, last year, you know, the uptake in children wasn't as high as we wanted. And we ended up having a load of children's vaccines that just expired that nobody took. So we're really keen. It is a really good vaccine. And what's fantastic is, you know, the needle factor obviously puts some parents off before. But the childhood vaccine is drops into the nose. It's a completely painless vaccine and it's effective. And certainly in a season where we have all these viruses around, if we can at least not have flu, that would be great for our children and society. So I would encourage everyone to get the flu vaccine. Obviously, those in the groups it's free of charge. And, you know, if you live with someone who's at risk, you're also included in that group. So there are very few people who don't qualify for a flu vaccine, Brendan, and I would really highly recommend it for people,
Anne texts in here, and there are similar texts now, because people are not going to be happy with you about the saying keep them at home under all circumstances. Like this person actually works in a preschool, but she said, I feel so sorry for the children. They always have coughs and runny noses. And people will say, look, my kid has a runny nose from October through to February every year. Like, am I supposed to keep him out of school?
No, so as I said, if it's just a runny nose,
just
and
a runny
you keep
nose.
Them home a few days, and if it's not developing into anything else, like if they literally wake up and their nose is a tiny bit runny, try giving them an antihistamine if they're of the age, because if it's allergies, that should improve that. But the problem is a lot of runny noses are the first sign of a developing viral illness. And, you know,
but just to be clear, if the runny nose doesn't, so initially you do need to keep them at home with the runny nose. If the runny nose develops into nothing after 2 or 3 days, if it's still a bit runny, send them back.
This runny nose thing is very hard to quantify.
I know.
But there's
people all over the country trying to quantify it every single day, and I'm trying to see could we give them a hand.
I know. I mean, if your child is needing to blow their nose every 2 minutes, that's not a simple runny nose. Okay, if they're having copious amounts of nasal discharge, that's not a simple runny nose. If they have, you know, a tiny sniffle and nothing else, that could, and they have a history of allergies, you know, if a child has never had allergies before and they suddenly have a runny nose, I definitely would want to keep that child home for a day or two and keep seeing how they're going, you know.
Yeah. Look, again, I'm not a doctor, but I swear by the old antihistamines. I think they often do the job for me as well. I don't know, is it that I have allergies or not?
I think they're underused to decongest. Obviously, children under one can't have them. There's one or two prescription ones they can have then when they're toddlers. But, you know, certainly in older children, it's always worth trying one because they can work really well to help reduce a cough. I mean, cough bottles don't do a whole lot, but antihistamines and decongestants do. Yeah.
Okay, Nina, that was all very helpful. Thank you very much. Can I ask you before you go? I saw you were tweeting yesterday asking people not to get frustrated with the receptionist. We forget that GPs are absolutely the front line of primary care. Are ye under pressure at the moment, and are people getting a bit scrappy and impatient?
Yeah, look, what I'd say is if you say GP are the front line in primary care, receptionists are the front line in GP.
Yeah.
And they are the ones, I mean, you know, I don't think anyone, people should sit on a reception in a busy general practice for a day. These people work incredibly hard. The phones are ringing from the moment they go on till the moment they go off. And, you know, most of them are used to dealing with people who are stressed and unwell. You know, they're excellent at what they do. I have to say, I may be biased. I think I have some of the best receptionists in the world. But patients take out their frustration on reception in a way they won't to the doctor or nurse in the place. And what I've always said is the receptionists are just the messengers. So if they're giving you a message saying those symptoms require a doctor visit, they're only passing on the message of the policy that I have set as the owner of the practice. And I've had some difficult calls with patients who were just really awful to some of the receptionists. And I've sort of said, look, if you have an issue with the practice policy, okay, please ask to talk to me, because it's unfair to take it out on the receptionists, who effectively are just the messengers, and they're doing a really good job in very difficult circumstances. And so I guess that tweet was just to say to people, please just remember it. These people are also working hard in very difficult circumstances. And if you're stressed, try your best just to be kind.
Okay, absolutely.
Yeah.
Dr. Nina Burns, GP, thank you very much for all that.